blind your eyes, steal your tongue, take it when you're old, but money lives on you.
Back, Barely Washables podcast, and we're in the dead heat of the Kellerman summer, and I don't know about you two, but I had the time of my life watching this film, and that is because we watched Dancing, how's all of us said Dancing with the Stars, Dirty Dancing, the 1987 version of Dirty Dancing. All right, let's take our shots before I...
Cheers.
Prost.
Have more word we're diarrhea.
We're drinking rum chata in honor of this gay movie.
Now, Joel, before you talk about this movie, I just have a quick comment to make. I guess before we even talk about this film in general, I watched this film with Martin Movies over here for the second time, and you might have better knowledge of this than I do. Did a ballerina like bully my dad when he was younger? Was he fucked by a group of male dancers in a gang? Because I have never seen such vitriol from a human being towards dancing than Marty had towards this movie.
I think he got beat up by a lot of guys in tight pants. I'm not sure about ballerinas.
Okay. First of all, this movie... Let's do our one word.
I don't have one word. I have three words. Paging Chris Hansen. Paging Chris Hansen. To Catch a Predator.
So, I could have gone with cheesy. I could have gone with corny. But I went with a word. Okay, so when romantic comedies, we call them rom-coms. So I'm going to call this rom-bortion. That's the name of this movie. It's a rom-bortion.
So,
a romantic abortion.
Let's just get... Let's talk about the elephant in the room. I actually don't think it's a problem because I think she's supposed to be 18 in this film. She just graduated high school, so she's got to be, right, 18 or...
I mean, yeah,
17 when I graduated high school.
Well, it's probably... Yeah,
she's most likely 18.
She's 18, he's 37. I don't see no problem there.
But to me, it's the age gap isn't what throws me off. It's like they're... teacher-student relationship that they have for the first half of this film. I think that's where it's a little bit more creepy than the age gap. Because to me, like, they don't seem so far apart in age.
You know how when we have this discussion, when we talk about, like, women teachers messing with their guy students or boy students, we're always saying, well, it's all about the maturity level. Well, baby doesn't have any maturity level at all starting this film. She acts like a baby. She acts like a little child, which is why I still am going to believe that she was 17 years old. She's so innocent.
I mean, she grows up real quick once Patrick Swayze puts the thunder down like halfway through this film. But and they're fucking every night. Once they start fucking, it is nonstop.
Can we talk about...
I wish they would have did a pan of the bed after the first sex session just to see what was left there.
I was actually surprised that Hungry Eyes, the montage for Hungry Eyes, is for the dance montage. I just assumed it was part of the sex montage. There's no sex during Hungry Eyes. Like, it's just slow dancing.
Can we talk about the actual word baby? I cringed through this whole... Not only did I cringe through this whole fucking movie because I hate it, but the word, her name, baby. Baby, 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 baby. It's like... Not only is it a horrible, stupid nickname.
Settle down, Beaver.
but they use it. So there was times where it'd be like Patrick says, you'd be talking to her. And instead of just saying, hey, could you hand me that towel? It's like, hey, baby, can you hand me that baby? Could you hand me that towel, baby? It's like they use the word seven times in a sentence. It was just annoying. Fucking annoying.
This was 1967 or 68. It was supposed to be the time period, right? But Francis has always been a bad name. Let's be perfectly honest. Sorry for Marty's parents, both Francis's, but even they had nicknames because it's such an awful, awful name to have to grow up with. would you say Biddy is any better than Baby? I mean, they would have called her Biddy through the whole movie. Would that even been creepier?
Well, at least my dad didn't go, "Hey, Biddy, can you give me the shoes, please, Biddy? Biddy, what are you doing, Biddy? Are you gonna Biddy me later, Biddy?" Because that's how this fucking movie was. It was Baby, Baby, hey, Baby, 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 this. It's like, well, were you Baby? Are you Baby, Baby? It's like, fuck. All right, enough. Her nickname's Baby.
All right, well, it's pretty clear where Martin stands on this film.
I'll be yelling at the clouds all day in this movie.
Joel, I don't know how you feel, but I just have a gut feeling I'm going to be the one defender of this movie. I don't know how you feel.
You're definitely going to defend it, because I am not defending this movie. It's not even... This movie was made for women. Let's be perfectly 1,000% honest. Women, Eric, I'll put you in that mix, I guess. Or I should say Gene or whatever. But this movie was made by a woman for women. You can't tell me anything different. I mean, the only reason this movie sold, made $240 million is there's so many women in the world.
Joel,
because that's the only way this movie got sold.
What year were you born?
This movie came out in 87, right?
Yeah.
I was 75. I was 12 when this movie came out.
The first thing I wrote down was I said, I feel like if I was born in 1975, this movie would have been my sexual awakening. Like, and I feel like I could have said that if I was born a male or like a woman or a man. Like, either way, you got Cynthia Rose, Jennifer Grey. On the other side, you got Swayze. Like, either way.
I actually grew up in that generation, and my coming out movie was Porky, so I think it was a little bit different.
I hear you, Joel. The only thing missing in this movie was maybe a Tampax commercial, like halfway through it.
I mean, there's not even any nudity in the movie. No. I think we might have saw a half ass from Swayze.
A rated R movie, but they had to cut down the nudity scenes. Jennifer Grey was nude in two scenes, and then they cut it down.
Because guess who it's catered for?
Well, no, it's because they wanted to get a PG-13 rating so it make more money.
So every 13-year-old girl can go.
Can we jump to something that's really important? Is Jennifer Grey hotter now with the nose job than she was back then? Anyone want to weigh in on that?
Are you looking at me?
I actually have. I was going to save this because in my user reviews, I have a guy that just kind of talks about that, and it's pretty creepy. So you'll hear it at the end of this.
We'll leave that for later then.
Okay, so what I hate about this movie is, first of all, it's all about dancing, which I can't stand. But the dancing part, it's not even good. It's just dry hump dancing is what it is. It's dry humping, basically. There's maybe a couple scenes, okay, where they do have some kind of choreography dance thing. But, like, that first scene, I mean, if we want to go through this movie, how it starts, where she, I can't even begin how horrible this movie is. Because, first of all, that whole resort thing, who the fuck goes in a resort? It's brutal.
First of all, the first thought I saw when they're driving in and they see the resort from afar is, isn't that the same resort as The Shining? It looks exactly like it. And I'm like, this turns into The Shining in wintertime.
But it's just like, okay, you're going to a resort, and what do? You're taking dance lessons, of course. It's everything's dance, dance, dance. And then you're trying on wigs. Hey, and then there's a cheesy magic show, and it's just, it's
horrible. Go to this place that's like this. It's for a trailer resort, but they have the exact same thing. They have dance lessons. They do all this shit. And usually it's just the old people doing it. So when the kids are with mom and dad doing the dance lesson, now that's cringy. Come on.
I mean,
let's be honest.
No offense, Marty, but you cannot, like, relate to New York Jews in the slightest. And that's, this movie is the most Jewish movie since Annie Hall. So I don't know.
Hey, do not compare this movie to Annie Hall. I'll strangle you right now. Do not rip on Woody Allen's movies, because I love Woody Allen. This movie's not Woody
Allen. Didn't write this movie. I mean, with all the underage shit going on in here, are you sure Woody Allen wasn't the writer?
You're right.
I don't know where you want to start with this movie. Like, do you want
to? I'd like to watch this movie with you, and then pick everyone, Gene, and just say how bad this movie is, so I can turn you. Because that's the only way I can turn you. Because every scene in this movie is, to me, was.
Terrible. I actually am surprised you picked this one, because they remade Dirty Dancing 2 years ago, and it was basically this movie, but with, like, social justice warrior culture, with, that infused in the movie, and it just, it does not work, and it's completely horrendous. And what's funny is the 2019 Dirty Dancing has been on my short list of movies to potentially watch, so it might be in our future. But when you picked this one, I knew you were talking about the older one, but this movie isn't as bad when you watch the 2019
I don't know if I'll be able to do that.
So this movie's all about classism, right? That's the theme, really. It's not about dancing or love. It's really about classism.
Right? Correct.
The movie's supposed to be deeper than it really is. It really never comes off that way, but it's supposed to be deeper.
All right. So I'm going to go right to that first dance scene where she's helping Billy, I think, or Bobby, or whatever. The dude with the
Good scene start. Every good scene starts off with some melons, right?
So she's helping him with the watermelons up to this. I don't even know what they call this. Is this like the workers' hideout room or something where just the workers go
hang out after work?
And she opens a door, and I thought it was some kind of swingers thing going on. I would have ran for the hills, first of all, because it was so creepy. Just the way everybody was just, like I said, they weren't dancing. They're just dry humping.
This is where I disagree with you 1,000%. That was like the one greatest scene of the movie. I've been right into that. I mean, everybody's pretty much fucking on the floor. I mean, that's perfect. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, they're basically mashing. They're going genital to genital the entire time. And so, when I was in college, I used to go out to this one bar called the Whiskey Jacks. It was it used to be a country bar, but then it turned into a dance bar. But they still had the riding bull intact. And I remember one time this one guy was basically doing what like Patrick Swayze was doing, where he was like front to front grinding on a woman. And I remember she went to go use the restroom, and he just turns to me, he's like, "Dancing is sex without penetration." And that's basically what this movie is.
In all reality, dancing could be penetration too. You could do it if you really wanted to do it.
And apparently,
my first thought when they walked into the room was like, "How many of these girls are wearing panties? How many of these girls are wearing panties?"
Apparently, dirty dancing is when you put on your black tight matador pants without a shirt, and you grind up your 37-year-old pelvis on young underage girls. So
you just had to have a cigarette behind your ear, you know.
I mean, in a sense, though, the Footloose dance or the Footloose pastor was right, where dancing just leads to nothing but sin. It leads to sex, because that's all that happens in this film, is Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey dance for an hour, and then they bang for the final 30.
The movie started off with one positive note. We noticed right away in the very first scene, you see one of the entertainment directors is Newman. And so I was like, oh, this could be going great, right? You know, we got Newman here running shit.
I thought it was Jurassic Park a little bit.
This is the quintessential 80s movie, though, because it has the same theme that all other 80s movies have, where like song and dance will cure all. Like, there's so many problems in this film. Like, we haven't even talked about the abortion yet, but there are so many problems in this film, but all it takes, like, in the end, is just to do a little dance number, maybe a little song, and everything's fine.
I mean, normally in life, that works, right? You know, anytime I'm upset, something's not going to me, I just go right to dance, and everything feels all right.
Hopefully you dance like Patrick Swayze, too.
I dance like I have sex by myself.
So, as me and Gene were watching this, and I was commenting, but like the first scene where they show Patrick Swayze dancing, I said, if we were at a wedding and some guy got up and danced like that, he would be kicked right square in the nuts.
We'd all start laughing.
No one dances like that. I don't know if like when women watch this movie, they like get all creamed up and they, oh my God, you know, it's like, that's, you know, it was the man I would love to have like dance like that. No, you wouldn't. Really, if I got up there dancing, like, my wife would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
I do think you have a point there, but I do think like they fantasize that, but they don't want it. Because like in reality, like they
no,
men dance like you, where it's almost like you got you're made of like metal parts. Like you have no rhythm.
Hey, wait a
no
minute,
fluid
wait a
movement.
Minute.
And they're like, why? Like, I wish my husband would dance like Patrick Swayze, but in reality, I don't think that's what they actually want.
I took 2 years of dance lessons.
Just gotta keep on spinning them. You don't ever have to do any of your moves. Just keep on spinning the person. They can't see you doing any of the dancing at all.
White man dance, you know.
I've seen
point
the
in the air,
moves.
Point to the ground, point in the air, point thing, to the ground.
The only thing that moves is above your shoulder. I don't. You're stiffer than the Tin Man in the Wizard of Oz.
How come Patrick Swayze in every movie only is wearing tight pants and no shirt? It's like the Zach is it. Whether it's Ghost, whether it's Roadhouse, whether it's this, it's always the exact same outfit. It's his only go-to. He's also got the worst facial expressions, you know, ever. It looks like he's either shitting his pants or pre-ejaculating. I don't know what it is.
Here, I was like, I don't know if Johnny Castle is taking a shit right now or if he's mad because I can't tell the difference.
Notice the name's Castle. Like, so he's really the king, and the doctor's name is Houseman, you know, his last name's Houseman, you know, and so like, oh, he, you know, really, it doesn't matter where you're from, you can be the king of your trailer park.
You're stretching, that was horrible.
Johnny Castle and something Houseman, come on.
Oh, all right, so before we get into this movie, I have like two questions that were eating me up while watching this film. First one, is Patrick Swayze a dance instructor, or is he just a hooker that's really good at dancing?
I think, I'm trying to figure out, so, I mean, I guess this was based on a true story where this woman who wrote this used to go to these high-end New York places or whatever. So is this normal where then, like, the people who are in law school and med school, they're the waiting staff, and the entertainment is really the scrubs, that they're all the poor people because they have the most talent? Or
it sounds like like the rich kids that go to Yale like network as waiters with the rich people. That's what it kind of makes it sound like.
All the dance people are the whores,
basically.
Yeah, but okay. Didn't Max Kellerman, the owner of the company resort, I mean, when they are, he was talking to the help. He basically he was just telling that, you know, pretty much have sex with the guest and keep him happy, whatever it takes to keep him happy. But then when
the entertainment
Johnny
comes
Castle
in
and the dancers entertainment comes in, he's like, but you guys don't touch anybody. You don't look at him. It's like, that's so weird. That is like, okay, so these waiters can go fuck the old wives and stuff, but you guys don't touch them. Just dance. Just show them how to dance.
Like, this movie is supposed to be about, you know, showing that there's not really, you know, we shouldn't be differentiating between classes. Yet even Johnny in one part says something about like, you don't understand, these rich women, they smell so good and keep themselves up. Like poor people are just a bunch of fucking dirty slobs walking around. All these chicks, like, he's down in his own class.
There you go, people. That was actually a line from the movie. So you can't tell me this movie doesn't suck. There's so many bad lines. I mean, here, I even wrote, and this is word for word. This is baby talking Johnny. You were just using them all, that's all. No, that's not it. That's the thing, you see, baby. It wasn't like that. They were using me. What the fuck? That was so stupid and so cheesy. That was a... Who wrote that? A 13-year-old girl?
That line was nowhere near as cheesy as when baby's all down in her luck and her sister comes in and she's like, baby, I'll do your hair. Make it look pretty. Like, is this what girls talk to each other about? And when your friend's down, I'll go up to my buddy and be like, oh, that's all right, man. Well, Let me give you a back rub. You want me to do your hair real quick?
I think you and your brother did talk like that, but that's another subject.
Well, usually we watch these films where like it's like an old man and he tries to write how like 13-year-old girls would talk to each other. But like you said, a woman actually wrote this, so I kind of assume this is what women say to each other. I mean, she's a woman. She would know.
So, Gene, you're happy with that? You just think that's...
I just accepted it.
So, Gene, you're kind of like... I can see you don't want to talk too much about this being the child predator thing. I can see you don't want to go off in that theme. But to just show how much this Johnny is a groomer and a complete creep, he even says, Francis, that's a real grown-up name. He knows she's not a grown-up. He's like, oh, Francis, oh, that's a real grown-up name.
No, I agree that that it's a little, you know, that she's way too young and he's, you know, he's feasting on the prey. I'm just saying it's not statutory rape. I choose to live in a world where she's at least 18. So he's not, at least the protagonist is not a felon. That's all. But the thing that upset me the most about Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze's relationship is that I thought, like, I actually completely forgot this until recently watching this. I thought Cynthia Rhodes was the villain, because I thought, why aren't her and Patrick Swayze a couple? They have such great chemistry. They seem to have no problems whatsoever.
Which
and there's absolutely no chemistry, to be perfectly honest, between Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze. Absolutely none.
We'll cycle back to that, because I have a quick comment about that. But do you agree? Like, why? Do you have an answer as to why they aren't a couple? He just says, like, they date when they're kids, I guess, but...
She was a kid, he dated her. Now she grew up, so...
Yeah. He's, like, 48
seen
now.
You seen his cycle here, Gene?
Yeah. It's almost like every movie we do. A lot of grooming going on.
So, you mentioned it, that Jennifer Grey, Patrick Swayze don't have chemistry. I don't completely disagree, but I don't think it's bad. Like, I think it's just, like, not, like, it's, like, average. It's, like, meh chemistry.
I heard she didn't want to do this movie or something, because, like, I thought I read somewhere that, because he did this right after Red Dawn, and apparently she didn't like him, or something happened on Red Dawn, and so she didn't really want to do this movie with him, because she couldn't stand him. Did you guys hear that or no?
I think that's just hearsay. I think that people, like, they didn't get along during the making of this film, and they're like, oh, they must have not got along at Red Dawn. Like, there's nobody that...
She had way more chemistry with Charlie Sheen. They should have used Charlie Sheen in this movie instead. both in Red Dawn and in Ferris Bueller. Way more chemistry.
Are you saying she had more chemistry with her brother than her lover?
Exactly.
I mean, we really bypassed Cynthia Rose, and I thought I would for sure have to use the horny button. I thought somebody's comment would...
She's hot. She's a little flat-chested, but she's hot. I liked her.
She reminds me, like... She reminds me if, like, Olivia Newton-John drank beer. That's what Cynthia Rhodes is. It's
like I would agree with that.
A little bit hardened ONJ.
That's a good call.
Yep. She's cute.
I liked, not to, you know, push to the end here, but the sister, when all of a sudden she had that outfit on, and I was like, ooh, where are you hiding those all movie?
Again, she is a New York Jew, so she's going to have New York Jew boobs.
Can we talk about Robbie a little bit?
Okay, now I'm getting lost here. Is Robbie the cool one?
That's the waiter who knocked up
Penny. Oh, okay, so that's Robbie. Because I got, like, names written down. I don't remember, like, Billy.
Robbie pretty much fucks everything that moves. He's fucking...
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, Robbie was... Actually, Robbie was a player. I don't know, people didn't like him, but that dude was a player.
Did you see the book that he... Did you see the book that he gave Baby?
No.
It was The Fountainhead by... Ayn Rand. It's all about, you know, nonconformity. You know, it's like being an individual. Fuck rich, fuck poor. I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I want. You know, I'm like, oh, that's a player move.
I think that's a player move right there. Warren.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think the most romantic gesture in the world is to give a book about, like, individualism versus collectivism. I don't know. That's not super sexy.
I wonder how many people caught that in this movie, how important that was for that director to put that in there.
Oh, man.
I also love, obviously, poor people, the poor people from this movie definitely go right into the stereotype for poor people. So they can't come up with the $200-$250 for the closet abortion, but he can slam his window because his keys are locked inside. So he'll slam something right through the window to get into his car. I'm like,
I know.
What the fuck was that about?
Yeah, then when does he say something like "you're wild" or something? It's like, come on, God damn, was that?
Those are the type of scenes that make a bad movie, because when it happens, the first time you see a movie and something like that, a scene like that happens, you're thinking, surely that's going to play out in the future. Like, that's, baby's going to see this window and she's going to see that Johnny's here. It's going to come back, but it never does. In the bad movies, these scenes never come back.
Well, I mean, I like to see a puddle in the back of his car, you know, from the rain.
Exactly. And you put plastic on that.
So, Patrick Swayze wasn't, like, the first choice, nor was he the second, third, or fourth choice.
Who was? Please tell.
Well, there were a few. I think, Val Kilmer was obviously number one after Top Secret just came out, but they had Billy Zane did a few scenes as the main person, and they're actually on YouTube. But I don't know. You have to check these out, because Billy Zane dances exactly like you, Joel. Once they saw how Billy Zane danced, they were like, okay, we need to get Patrick Swayze. We need to get somebody with some dance pedigree. A lot of arm movements. A lot of flopping arms, or as spaghetti arms, as he was calling it in the movie.
Hey, when you can't get your other body parts to do what you want them to do, you start moving the arms, all right?
I feel bad for Billy Zane, because I feel like every movie in the 80s or 90s, he was like the second choice. Like Back to the Future, every single big movie, he was always the afterthought.
Talk about this when we talk about, like, if we would recast, but I mean, I think Warwick Davis would have been a perfect cast for this, for Johnny in this movie. He comes in, nobody puts baby in the corner, and he, like, jumps up to try to get...
So, the movie's called Dirty Dancing, but in reality, it should have been called Dirty Dance Rehearsal. Because all this movie is just practicing for a dance. There's not a whole lot of actual dancing in this film.
We should have been called Daddy Love Me. That's what it should have been called. It's all about her trying to be your daddy's little girl. Which is why it even made it creepier.
I mean, it's kind of wild that... No, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I like the dad. I think the dad was the only sensible person in this whole fucking movie. Like... From the get-go, her dad was right about everything. You know, I mean, this is a bunch of people who are fucking around with everybody. They're dancing all crazy. All he's saying is, stay away from this crowd. Everything's going to be all right. He would have saved himself $250. He wouldn't have had to do some late-night surgery, which he could get malpractice for. I mean, I think the dad was right through the whole thing. The only thing he was wrong about was at the end when he cashed in, when he found out his daughter could actually dance, then he was cool with the statutory rape at that point for some reason. So I don't understand that change.
I was agreeing with you, and then that rape part came up. But anyways, no, I thought the dad actually... Well, I mean, he's actually a really good actor anyways, but I thought his part was good. I thought he played the part good. I thought that part of the movie, the more father, like you said, father-daughter part of it, I didn't mind at all. But I just... Dancing the Patrick Swayze thing, I don't fucking get it.
You know, I thought this movie was nearly flawless, and there was only one plot hole, and the dad was part of it. To me, the one major plot hole of this film were the parents not knowing where their 18-year-old daughter was at night. Like, she was always sneaking off, and the parents never knew, and I thought that was, like, the one thing, and especially I feel like that... Like, that doesn't happen now, and especially in the 1960s. Like, they're locked up after 10 p.m.
Yeah.
They're chained to their bed.
I don't know. I'm going to see it in these resorts. Those kids are all running around.
In the late 60s, early 70s, do doctors always carry their medical briefcase right next to their beds all the time, just in case they have to jump up? Cause
yeah.
I know a lot of doctors nowadays, they never have that shit around.
No, yeah. You carry an abortion case with you in the 60s, 70s, pretty much, because there was a lot of that shit going around, especially those resorts. You never know when an abortion is going to happen, so you always want to carry that.
I think he's a serial killer himself.
Dexter?
I mean, you just talked about it. There's a botched abortion in this film. Like, we're 30 minutes in, we have yet to talk about it, so I feel like we should bring it up now.
Dirty knife.
Right away, when you hear that they only have about 20 minutes, 30 minutes to do this surgery between their acts... Like, they're doing some kind of accident. It's like, oh, he only has a certain time period to go do this procedure. And it's like, what? Who is this doctor?
He's got a dinner and a show Thursday night. He's got to go see the matinee.
He's, what was the Seinfeld episode where they performed the brisk?
Even if you were a bad doctor, would you really come in with a dirty knife for real? Come on.
Dirty
come
knife.
Come on.
Right away. What's
that's,
his name?
That's so...
Was that Billy that goes, he had a dirty knife and a table.
It's like... Yeah, go ahead. Lay down.
Where does Dirty Dancing rank on the pantheon of abortion movies? I think it's easily top three. I have a few off the top of my head. I don't know if you guys want to...
Abortion movies?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, there's obviously
thought about that.
There's Juno, which is a successful, or does she have the kid? I forgot, but it's a movie about abortion.
Never saw it.
Cider House Rules, Fast Times at Ridgemont High is a famous abortion
yeah.
scene.
I forgot about that.
But to me, the best, I think Dirty Dancing 2, I have to go with Revolutionary Road 1.
Is there an abortion in Dirty Dancing 2?
Is that a joke?
No, I'm asking, is there? In Dirty Dancing 2, did you say?
Oh.
Oh. You just said Dirty Dancing 2.
He thought you meant 2 T-O-O.
You did say there was a dirty another Dirty Dancing, so I thought that's what
they had twin abortions in part 2.
I thought you were trying to make a really
no,
bad joke.
No, because you had mentioned Dirty Dancing 2, and I was thinking, okay, maybe there's another abortion in Dirty Dancing.
You know, I haven't seen Dirty Dancing 2, but I do know it takes place in Havana and January Jones stars in it, so I have to assume there's an abortion in it.
All right.
I have a question for Gene. Since you weren't really around for most of this time period, what is your feeling about this soundtrack for this movie?
I think it's A+ soundtrack. They knocked. I get. Besides "Hungry Eyes" being utilized for a dance montage and a sex montage, I thought everything was perfect. And it okay. deserved the.
What was your favorite? What's your favorite song on the soundtrack?
Oof.
Please tell me it's the one I think it should be.
I mean. Shouts out Teen Wolf 2, I have to go Do You Love Me when she first goes into the dirty dance club scene.
Okay, I thought for sure you were going to say, you know, Patrick Swayze's no one-trick pony. You know, he's no one-trick pony, or two tricks. Usually it's fighting and dancing, but he's got a third trick up his sleeve. He can sing, man, she's like the wind. Man. Come on here.
I'll admit the soundtrack is good, but it's basically... taking every, you know, it's kind of like it's a when you have that movie where you put in your best, you know, Motown songs and your, you know, 60s 70s, yeah, it's a really, but they don't really like dig deep into like songs, like they don't get like flip sides from songs from the 60s and 70s or something, like try to compare like Tarantino movies, he'll play a song, you know, Little Green Bag, which is a great song, but it's like not played all the time. Nobody knows it. But I mean, he'll throw songs like that in there and be like, "Oh, perfect timing." Do you understand?
This is more of a pop, but this is a pop movie. This is not a Quentin Tarantino.
I know, but I'm just saying,
pop movie.
I could have made this a great soundtrack. You know, just go on.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite dancing songs. You know, it's like here it is.
I can't believe that time of your life song, the last song, won the Grammy for best song of the year that year. I mean, to me, it's one of the worst. I mean, it's powerful in the movie, I guess. But from a song point, I remember we went to the Dells that year, right when this movie was released. And you guys want to hear a version of this song that you're never going to want to hear again. Listen to Sarah and I Do Time of Your Life.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have those.
Got it queued up right now?
No, I don't have it queued up, but there's no alto. There's no alto in that version of that song.
I know.
You just put your pickle right on my plate. I was ready, but...
I know you two hate this film, but, I mean, it did spark, like, and it's still today, like, two iconic scenes. The baby in the corner quote, and then obviously the lift at the end, and... this movie made a gazillion, I think $215 million to be exact. What do you think is the more impactful scene, the final scene or the baby in the corner quote?
hate the baby in the corner quote, first of all, for two reasons. That's not the quote I hate. I guarantee that chick put herself in that corner. She was feeling so pissed off and depressed. Dad's not talking to her. He didn't put her in the damn corner. She put herself in the corner. And then he comes up and has the gall to talk to Mr. Houseman, asking him to take baby out of the corner. You saw Houseman jump up. He was about to pop him, but the wife slowed him down a little bit. He should have just punched him right there. But probably the more iconic is him lifting her up over his head. I mean, that's the most iconic.
Yeah, I agree. The dance. Because actually, the part with the baby in a corner, because when I first saw the movie, that really didn't pop out because he only said it once. And they said it, like, you know, at the end. And then they had the dance routine after that. So that kind of, like, overwhelmed that part. So to me, when people started talking about putting baby in a corner, I was like, oh, yeah, that was in the movie. Like, it wasn't.
It's a women empowerment thing. You wouldn't understand, dude. It's a woman empowerment thing. They're all like, yeah, no one puts any women in the corner. We get to stand up for ourselves. Shut up.
Wait, were you saying something?
I wasn't listening. That final lift, though, was.
What about women?
That final lift was the original summer catch. Had to put that joke in there. Millennials, I was thinking, watching this movie, circle back to the soundtrack. Millennials probably hate this film because they play the entirety of every song during the film. Like, if it's Hungry Eyes or what, any song, I think they play Do You Love Me the entirety while they're dancing. Millennials love just turning off the song after the first verse. They play like a minute of the song and the one goes to the next. So they definitely did not enjoy this film for that aspect. You get the third verse.
How cringy was when they're lip syncing that baby song? What's that? What's that song when they're like dancing with each other, lip syncing?
Baby.
What if I told you that
God.
That scene was
come here, lover boy.
Like improvised, not improvised, but they were like messing around, not during a shoot, and then they started rolling the camera.
Okay,
so it wasn't in the script.
Okay, again, I always use this.
So it just shows you how lame those two people are in real life, too.
Let's say you have a roommate, and you're out getting groceries. You come home, and your roommate and his significant other are on the floor doing that song. What would you do? You'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I would just assume
walk out.
Took an edible. I would be like, okay, they're on something. Like, guess I know what I'm taking next Friday. That's all. What would Dirty Dancing today be? Because this is technically like the Dirty Dancing of the 60s.
Are you saying like the movie Dirty Dancing?
Or no, like what would the style actual dancing? Of dancing be? Would it be twerking?
Yeah, I would say
twerking's. I remember seeing some of those videos where the rappers are like banging a twerker. I mean, like from behind, and like they even like fall off the stage and stuff like that. That's kind of like probably today's version of Dirty Dancing.
I think today's Dirty Dancing is almost where a guy just sits in a chair on a dance floor, and a girl, like you said, just twerks around him or pretty much strips around him, which. It's come along.
Are we using what we want, what we really want it to be like?
No, that's what it is. Trust me. DJing dances, and you're talking high school dances and middle school dances, that's basically what it is.
I don't remember chairs in the middle of the dance floor, well, but
it is now.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
Do you think Patrick Swayze said the only way I'm doing this film is if I get to punch somebody? Because I feel like that scene like was needed just so he could, you know, get off a little bit of his roadhouse aggression there.
I mean, he does probably have all this pent up testosterone doing all the dancing all day, every day. So he's like, please, let me just kick somebody in the throat. I think that's all he's thinking. By the way,
why didn't he just tell everybody, like the doctor up the bed, I didn't knock her up, it was Robbie?
Yeah, I didn't understand it either.
Wouldn't it cause so much less drama?
Yes.
Just say, oh, that's not mine.
He's got moral
gentleman.
Integrity, yeah. The one thing that also I don't understand is why he had to do the dance routine the day of her abortion. He's like, I'm going to be fired from this year and next year if I don't do this dance routine. I'm like, I feel like the owner of this place will understand that you can take the night off to get an abortion. I just feel like that wouldn't ruin your career. feel like your employer would be understanding of a one night off. I don't know. Bungalow Bunnies, though. What a great name for the Jewish boxers.
Yeah. Just to prove your point, though, Gene, that, you know, or no, maybe it was Marty, about how dancing, you know, someone's comparing it to Footloose. And how this dancing, when you start seeing this dirty dancing, it rubs off on other people and it can become a problem. I mean, right at the very end scene, you see Patrick and Jennifer Grey dancing at the very, very end. And you see two little kids. They're like 7 years old, 8 years old. And they're grinding against each other. Did you see that? You see that on there? It is happening, man. It is it's passing along.
Yeah. Was that the end of the movie?
Very end, you know, when everybody's dancing, all of a sudden you see these two little kids. Kids are grinding next to each other. I'm like, oh my god, what's going on here?
Is that when two old ladies get out there too and dance?
Well, that's when Johnny's already grooming early. You know, that's what he's doing.
This movie's disturbing. Okay, fuck it. I was
gonna say it. Would this movie have made more sense if it was filmed in Afghanistan than New York?
Ooh, a Bollywood movie.
Oh,
I like the Bollywood effect on this.
Well, I mean, along the sense of like. So is like selling your 13-year-old daughter for sex.
You know what the hottest scene of this movie was? It wasn't the sex scenes with Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze. It was when Patrick Swayze, Jennifer Grey, and Penny were all dancing together. That was the hottest scene of the movie. Do you remember that scene?
I thought when Penny and Baby were dancing together. Is that what you're talking about, when she was practicing with her?
They did that scene too, but right at one point, it was like, you know, Penny was behind Baby, and then Johnny, they were all dancing together, the three of them.
I kind of try to Photoshop Johnny out of my mind when that was happening, but yeah, when those two were there, I thought it had a little sexual tension there, or whatever you want to call it. I thought we could have went R, heavy R on that part, I think.
Johnny usually brings in that third, but again, she's too old now.
All right, is there any other comments on this film before we get into segments?
I mean, I would go to this resort, though. I would hang out at this resort. I mean, it seemed like it was like a pussy haven. I mean, let's be perfectly honest. Everyone's fucking, whether you're lower class or higher class, everybody wants some dick, and this would have been perfect.
There's dancing and fucking. That's all that's going on at this resort.
I'm all about those older married women. Those are the ones that I'd be trying to hook up with.
The
Jesus.
The Bungalow Bunnies.
I'm heading up to the resort from Monday through Friday. See you guys.
Even the owner of the resort, that Max Kellerman, he even's like, yep, she's a bungalow bunny, you know, and she just likes to get fucked during the week while her husband's gone. And he just admits it like right out there when everybody's standing around. It's like, oh, okay. No, I kind of like the character Neil. He's kind of a douche, but some of the stuff he just said and acted, like that one time when she saw, who was that guy's name? Was that Robbie?
That's my quote. Don't say my quote.
All right. Never mind then. Let's
just get to the quotes then.
Okay. Go ahead, Joel.
So my quote is what I felt like I should have said to myself before I watched this movie. So, sometimes in this world, you see things you don't want to see.
But you forgot what he said before he said that part. He said, sorry, you had to see that. My quote is also from Neil, who, for some reason, got very, very excited anytime the Mambo was on. He loved the Mambo. He talked about the Mambo. So all of a sudden, like the Mambo comes on. He's like, oh, the Mambo, let's go dance. He's so excited for the fucking Mambo.
I don't know what's up with the Mambo, man.
Well, it's gonna be a weekly tradition, I feel like, with me using a quote from a film that we just watched, and I'll incorporate it as my pickup line at the bar. Last week it was, may I use your body. This week I carried a watermelon. That will be my pickup line this week.
I carried a watermelon. Those are some big fucking watermelons, by the way. Did you guys notice that? Those things are like size of babies. They were like huge.
Heavy because they were filled with vodka.
So this movie has a prequel. This movie has a remake. So would you do like a prequel, sequel, remake, even though they've already done it all?
I gave mine away already, but you know that movie Little Women? Instead of Little Women, I'm calling it Little Dancers, and it's going to be Warwick and Peter Dinklage, you know, playing dancers at a club at a resort.
So when you're saying Little Women, you're actually talking about midgets, right? That like
that's gonna be called Little Dancers.
Little Dancers.
Yeah, and they're like perfectly pussy level, so like you should see some of the dirty dancing that's going on here, man.
I'm pretty sure Little Dancers is the name of a strip club in Vegas, by the way, that I walked by last week. But
and you didn't go in a place called Little Dancers? That would be like where I'd fuck her out.
If that's real little people dancing, I am going to that place.
Exactly. Well, I was on my way to watch the Bucks game, so I missed out on it.
I would have missed the first quarter. Definitely.
It's called Little Darlings. Apologies.
Little Darlings. That even sounds like... That sounds worse. That sounds something that Patrick Swayze would like to go to. Or Johnny Castle would love to go in.
But instead of like it just being about like a rich, it's about sizeism. It's not about classism. It's about sizeism. So it's all these tall people putting down short people. And eventually the short person comes up and sticks up for himself and takes the tall girl.
All right, I have some bad news. unfortunately, because of circumstances, we had to do a Zoom with Joel. And so we are using my laptop for Zooming him, and I lost all of my user reviews. I had some pretty cool ones. And basically, the one I was telling you guys about was, you know how a lot of these user reviews were like just off the charts, going gaga over this movie. And it was majority women and just how this is the greatest movie ever, blah, blah, blah. But all of a sudden, one guy, like I said, I don't have him with me, but he pretty much said, "Oh, I love Jennifer Grey in this movie. But hey, why did you get that nose job? You were so cute before that nose job. I liked it better, blah, blah, blah." He just went off on a rant about her nose. It didn't say nothing about the movie, so I was going to read this, and it was just like, holy shit, this guy is very creepy. I don't know. Did she have a nose job? I didn't, until you said that and I read that, I didn't know if she had a nose job.
She did. She looks totally different. You wouldn't even recognize her whatsoever right now.
Oh, okay.
You should check it out.
Did she say anything recently?
Not since
she's been in a couple flicks. I don't remember the names. I just remember seeing her. I can't remember which flick she was in, actually.
Oh, now I'm going to have to check that out. So I don't have any user reviews this week. Sorry. We can do something else for this subject. Have you guys got anything?
Well, we still have two more subjects to go to. The first one is, how is this person not in this film? And it's not a whole lot of roles for this film, but I did think this movie was missing a villain. Like, Robbie, I guess, is technically the villain, but he has, like, two total scenes. I don't know. Maybe they could have thrown in, like, an Ed Rooney as the boss, or, like, a female villain to, like, V for Patrick Swayze. Like, maybe another person that's baby's age, like a Shannon Doherty, that's also trying to win Patrick Swayze's love. I thought that's what this movie was missing. Was just
that one... Bungalow Bunny, but she really wasn't a villain.
No, she was just horny.
Yeah, you can't be horny and a villain. You can't be a horny villain. I agree.
anybody got any thoughts on that? Who should have been in this movie? How is this person?
Go ahead.
I was going to say Arnold Schwarzenegger as Johnny Castle. Did you see him dance in True Lies?
Oh, God. Who was... We need Jean-Claude Van Damme. He's the better dancer, remember?
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
You've got what you want, Kellerman. Now put baby out of the corner.
let our dancers go. Everybody freeze. Cool it.
Would you watch this movie, recommend this movie, Drunk High Sober?
I personally would recommend this without a penis somehow. I don't know. Then I would watch it.
Yes, lots of estrogen.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. You're right, yeah. Pop about 27 of those pills. Sorry, ladies. I know I'm pissing off a lot of females.
They're like, this is my favorite movie. I talked to Kristen and Becky, and they're like, that's a great movie. Why are you guys reviewing that? Of
course. But I would like to sit down. And I'll put this out to any female. Let's sit down and watch this movie, and I can pinpoint how shitty this movie is. And then we'll watch Die Hard. I'll tell you what. Then we'll watch Die Hard. And I'll bet you I win that fight every time.
I think the last thing a woman wants is to watch a movie they like, and a man just to... or not just a man, but a person just completely be negative the entire time. Yeah, like, that's the last thing they would want.
Wait, that might be my new podcast.
You're going to have zero just shit viewers. On a movie. You're going to be the Skip Bayless, the podcast. I would watch this. I would recommend this movie 100%. Definitely drunk. Maybe with a dirty martini or a dirty Manhattan or a dirty monkey. Or
the next wedding I go to, I'm gonna have Gene,
dirty Irishman, maybe a dirty Bloody Mary.
I'm having Gene put on those Matador tight pants, and I want him to go dance those moves, and let's see what happens.
Your hatred towards dirty dancing reminds me of like when the football players used to call like soccer players gay, and they'd be like, "Aren't you football players the guys that go out and touch men every single play?" Like, it never made sense. I feel like, again, like, you have this resentment towards like it's Patrick Swayze type. That
I never mentioned gay. I just said that nobody.
This
dances.
Movie, this movie like definitely made an impression on some people. I mean, we have family members. I'm not gonna name names who went out and their profession. Ends up being because of this movie. Their whole profession in life ends up becoming, you know, due to this movie. So it definitely has made the impression, and it happens to be, yes, a female. But are we interested in what we're watching next?
Who's up?
Please tell me actually, it's a dancing movie. Please, Joel.
Joel, what do you got?
No, we're not doing any more dancing movies. We haven't done that. We haven't done a superhero movie yet.
We're doing Footloose,
except for Catwoman. So,
I guess, but yeah. Oh shoot, we just did one. Hey, staying in DC.
Oh, come on, you're killing me
again. You're like complaining about movies, but you literally just picked this movie.
I know.
Gonna do Batman and Robin,
the original,
the 1997 Batman and Robin.
What do you mean the original? There's only been one Batman and Robin.
No. The original
Batman movie he's talking about.
Like 1968.
But there's only been one Batman and Robin movie.
Batman and Robin.
Okay.
1997. Just because you were talking about some of the characters, you know, it was you mentioned Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it just kind of popped in my brain. So.
Well, for the second week in a row, we will be watching a movie that is not on any streaming platforms. So.
It's on HBO Go. HBO, they have all the DC movies on there.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right, I'll take a look. Just to confirm.
HBO Max, I should say.
Yeah. I'm going to take Gander right here, Dead Air. Just so I can confirm.
They have all the DC movies on HBO Max because DC and HBO have a partnership.
You are correct. All right. I didn't know. Okay, so all the Batman are DC, not just the newer ones. Okay. All right. HBO Max, there we go. Right on. Thank you.
Problem.
Any other final comments?
Nope. I think I'm talking.
I say if you want to be a player tonight with your wife, I want you to get on all fours and you crawl right up to her and you make her crawl right up to you and you and you say, baby. And then you just crawl away.
I do think there is something like about Patrick Swayze, though. I guess final comment, like, he is an aggressive dude, and that's what women want. Like, I know the dancing is off. It's not it's not normal what he's doing, but he is like an aggressive dude. Like, he is tossing around baby. He's a super macho fucking dude. So I think that's what the women are.
Women want a super macho dude that does gay ass shit. That's what all women want. They want a super macho dude that either dances or writes poetry on the side, maybe does a little artwork. They want someone like that.
But they want to be thrown around a little bit.
I can throw them around.
Again, I've never seen anything above your, below your.
I'm writing it down now. Matador pants, throw them around. All right, peace out.
Later.
Back in time.